Chapter 12.
Dangers on the Path. Just as the school of the Rosy Cross time and again shows a glimpse of the path of liberation, so it is also necessary from time to time to point out the dangers on the path. We are not referring to obstacles and problems which we make ourselves because of our egocentricity and self-defense instincts, but to real dangers in and around our microcosmic system, caused by our ties, our close relationship with the dialectical nature order. We are in and of this nature. Every cell of our body, every fiber of our being is built up out of the substance of this nature, and the forces of this nature do not easily release their prey. There are dangers on the path which arise not so much by errors of life or by self-directedness, but purely and solely because of our structural ties with the earth. You should view these dangers not in a personified way, as the ancients did, as devils, earthbound spirits, demons, or elementals, but as the direct consequences of magnetic laws which operate in this nature. The earth's whole atmosphere is a complicated magnetic field in which different tensions, vibrations, and radiations operate, forces which in a completely natural way maintain and cause the circulation or spiraling of all the forms of life that express themselves on Earth in one way or another. The pupil who is called by the universal spirit field, who is invited to the original human life and who must consequently undergo transfiguristic changes, is in fact attracted by a different magnetic field, that of the immovable kingdom. The magnetic spirit field is by nature totally different from that of the dialectical nature order, and the pupil, therefore, is faced with the task of escaping from a magnetic field to which he is tied in a completely natural way, and by virtue of natural laws, it needs no detailed argument to prove that this is not easy. To escape from the natural grip of the laws of Earth magnetism, a radical process of self-freemasonry is necessary, a process which is taken up in a struggle between the pupil and the grip of a magnetic field, a struggle for one's entire being to become captive, as it were, of a totally different magnetic field. This process naturally involves a number of very special nature scientific problems. We are purposely using a somewhat nature scientific terminology because the glorious and holy Universal Brotherhood has prepared several groups of those striving for universal life, and several world workers who, in one way or another, hold authority for a new awakening and for a new message to the world. This new message was made ready to be brought to humanity during the second half of this century, as a last call to all who can still listen. And it is with intense gratitude and prayerful thoughts that we speak about this new activity of the Brotherhood. It will only be mentioned for now. Later, it will be studied closely. The message of the Brotherhood, which will herald a new phase in the great cosmic revolution, will turn a new light on the structure of the universe, on the quality of universal life, and on the inanity of material life and striving. It will put the axe to the artificial science we call theology, and will secure the basis of the universal doctrine of transfiguration before the threefold dialectical consciousness in a way that we would not have thought possible. When the message has been brought and has had its full effects, it will be a matter simply of these who want to go and those who do not. Many veils and much false light will disappear, and the very tiring and energy-sapping work of incessantly declaring oneself and fighting against imitations will no longer be necessary. Everyone will have to choose without any byways between the new life and the old life. There will not remain any other possibility, be it intellectual, mystical, or practical. The message we are speaking about has a name. It is the appearance of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, of who the holy language says that every eye will behold him. This appearance does not refer to a phenomenon in the sky that will last some hours or days, but to a process to a grand declaration of the universal brotherhood, which will commence during the second half of this century. All our companions are invited to go out to meet the Lord when he appears. This appearance has already become a fact, and it is about this that we want to inform you. A magnetic field is a gravitational field. Such a field not only encloses within itself a living form, but the nature of that form, the life dwelling in it, the consciousness in it, the sensory faculties it possesses, the cell structure manifestation, etc., can be explained completely from that gravitational field. They are completely united with it. If we are attracted into a magnetic field, and we are attracted by the gravitational force of this world, then we are one with the world in the most absolute sense. Therefore, if another magnetic force gets power over us, if our center of gravity begins to lie in another gravitational field, a microcosmic revolution is the inevitable result. The microcosm is then broken away from the previous magnetic field, and form, life, consciousness, the sensory faculties, the cell structure manifestation, all that which is to be explained from that magnetic field perishes, and a totally new, different life begins to manifest itself with innumerable consequences. In short, a transfiguration develops, a process to which we have been inviting you for years, a process by which you will be confronted in the near future with an unprecedented absoluteness and an imperativeness. Why? Because the Son of Man has appeared in the clouds of heaven. If you do not understand these words, we will translate them for you. It means that just as a microcosm can be seized, called by a different magnetic field, so also a macrocosm, a world, can be affected in the same way. We call that process a cosmic revolution, as you know, and it will be this cosmic revolution which will place before us the imperative choice to share the natural fate of the world as a form manifestation in a magnetic field, or, emphatically, to go the way of transfiguration in time, hence to ascend into another magnetic field. If we choose the latter way, we must accept the battle of escaping from the Earth's magnetism. This battle entails the pupil overcoming nature-scientific resistances which the ancients personified as dangers, or for which they chose symbolical figures to make it easy to refer to them. What we are saying is that the problems of Earth magnetism and gravitation were known in the universal doctrine of all ages, in all their aspects, and equally in regard to their solutions. The Brotherhood has embedded these problems and their solutions for a certain category of seekers in a number of immortal stories. We want to point out two of these stories because they have appealed vividly to the imagination of millions of Westerners from childhood on. We are referring to the massacre of the innocents in Bethlehem and the flight of Joseph, Mary, and the infant Jesus to Egypt. This narrative is so interwoven with our fantasy, we have visualized it so clearly. Artists of all the centuries have represented the flight to Egypt in so many ways that we can hardly imagine that these dramatic events allude to purely nature-scientific magnetic workings, which are highly topical and which still concern every pupil who truly wants to go the path every day. You probably know what we are to understand by the story of the three wise men from the East. The three aspects of the dialectical consciousness raise themselves up in the fully determined pupil, and from a point of commencement, a place of dawn, the East, they naturally come in contact with Herod, the ruler of nature, the king of the land. That means to say, a conflict develops between the magnetic field of ordinary nature and the striving of the pupil. This conflict is very obvious. Ordinary nature, ordinary life, is completely inimical to the higher, different life of the immovable kingdom. Compromise is out of the question. Or put differently, when the microcosm of the pupil begins to experience something of the universal spirit field as a magnetic force, this newly born principle will immediately bring conflict into the system. It will be a sign which will immediately be countered, says Messianic Isaiah, and therefore the disturbed natural magnetic field which functions both microcosmically and macrocosmically will attempt to restore the balance. Herod will seek to kill the child. We know from ordinary nature that a magnetic disturbance causes storms, atmospheric turmoil, earthquakes, and the like. What happens to the macrocosm also happens to the microcosm. The contact with the magnetic field of Christ naturally brings fierce turmoil into our life. We could indicate this turmoil as an illness. Indeed, such a turmoil in the life of the pupil who seriously goes the path could result in our so-called health being affected. Nervous states and bodily difficulties are obvious, and it is clear that an accompanying phenomenon of our nervousness are wrong actions, which in turn might cause conflicts with relatives and others. Extremely confused situations then weave a web around us, so to speak, in which we are caught, and thus the conflict with the earthly magnetic field becomes a complete victory for Herod. Our new beginning, our newly born child of renewal, is exterminated by Herod. This danger may become clearer to you when we say that a conflict with the earthly magnetic field has a very powerful effect on the endocrine system. An incorrectly functioning internal secretion can make our activities powerless or turn them into very undesirable directions. Because of this highly current and ever-modern danger, the holy language gives us a warning. This warning is contained in the flight to Egypt. The holy legends tell us that one of the wise men does not inform Herod any further, and that Joseph is warned in a dream to flee. You will understand from this that the attention of the consciousness is drawn to the approaching conflict. Indeed, every pupil is warned when a conflict with the magnetic field is on the way. He is advised not to fight, but to flee. We hope that you will understand this warning. If we fight, we will lose, or at least such tremendous dangers will develop that a defeat is obvious. But when we flee to Egypt, we will be saved from all the dangers issuing from this magnetic turmoil. The flight to Egypt points to a state of neutrality. Just as scientific instruments can be made insensitive to magnetic influences by surrounding them with a layer of lead, or perhaps by other means not known to us, so also the pupil can isolate himself against the aforementioned influences by trying, when danger approaches, in certain aspects to be no longer actively engaged, to be extremely careful, and to adopt an expectant attitude. This especially means keeping the threefold consciousness completely calm and guarding full of faith what has been received. If the consciousness knows what is happening, keeps calm, and remains balanced, and does not force itself or make itself nervous, the Earth's magnetic field will not be able to exert any influence on the endocrine system. The threefold consciousness must offer itself to the divine gift it has received with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold of the faithful, open heart, the frankincense of the life-giving hope, and the myrrh of the purifying cup of suffering of love.